The Tillerson Committee's assignment was tricky because it involved legal risks. Greenpeace, the Union of Concerned Scientists, and other campaigners had accused ExxonMobil of replaying the science-manipulating techniques of tobacco companies. The comparison itself served as a warning. To achieve their goals, environmental groups might, as anti-tobacco activists had done, file class-action tort litigation accusing ExxonMobil of fraudulent efforts to suppress greenhouse gas regulations. It was hard to imagine how ExxonMobil could ever be as badly affected by lawsuits over global warming as tobacco companies had been by suits over smoking's dangers, but Cohen and other corporate lawyers could not afford to be complacent. The tobacco companies had initially regarded their own class-action suits as an immaterial nuisance and had been proven wrong. One of the challenges facing Tillerson's interdisciplinary climate team, then, was to reposition ExxonMobil's arguments about warming to more fully account for consensus scientific opinion, without admitting that any of the corporation's previous positions had been mistaken, for that might open a door to lawsuits. This was doubly difficult, because climate scientists themselves issued stronger and stronger warnings after 2005. These included scientists funded by ExxonMobil. The scientists who refined and perfected the global system model at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, for example, reported steadily more dire forecasts when compared with those Lee Raymond had earlier cited to support his arguments about such forecasting. In 2003, the global system had issued a median prediction of a 2.4 degrees centigrade rise in global temperatures by 2100. A few years later, that number had more than doubled. If possible liability lawsuits had not been a factor in the corporation's choices, ExxonMobil might have crafted a straightforward climate communications plan for Tillerson. "We have been following the science closely all along. That science is now more alarming than it used to be, and so we have adjusted our thinking and our policies." In any event, Cohen's committee crafted a more convoluted plan, whose core message sounded something like, "We were always right, but we were misunderstood." The political climate in which they considered the dilemma Lee Raymond had bequeathed them was changing even faster than the weather. Early in 2006, An Inconvenient Truth debuted at the Sundance Film Festival. The documentary highlighted Al Gore's lectures about the dangers of climate change. It would earn a record $50 million at the box office and eventually win the Academy Award. In ExxonMobil's K Street office, the corporation's lobbyists screened the film a half dozen times, scribbling notes and fashioning talking points about how to attack Gore's arguments. They gamely went forth on Capitol Hill to do so, yet increasingly they felt like front trench soldiers battling on in a losing war that required new eyesight from the generals at the top in Irving. And as the Bush administration's attitude toward climate policy wobbled, and Gore's advocacy swept through popular culture, and particularly through opinion-shaping elites on the two coasts, the sense among the planners and strategists at ExxonMobil's Irving headquarters was, "Uncle, we get it. We won't capitulate, but we will reconsider." Cohen had dispatched a public affairs colleague named Lauren Kerr to Washington to work on climate issues. By the time of the ExxonMobil leadership transition, she had grown into a significant force on K Street, working from an office next to the Washington chief, Dan Nelson. Kerr spoke out publicly to defend ExxonMobil's climate policies, but she also managed a plan to reposition the corporation as a patron of serious, credible scientific and technological research in the field. She shepherded large ExxonMobil donations to MIT and also to Stanford University to support research into breakthrough alternative energy technologies, programs ExxonMobil thereafter cited as evidence that it was not anti-science. Kerr fed advice, policy research, and political analysis into Irving's climate policy review process. The committee was restrained not only by the questions about legal liability, but also by a desire among Tillerson and other senior executives to remain loyal to Lee Raymond's legacy. Tillerson had served as Raymond's executive assistant early in his career. He and Raymond had worked closely on the management committee in the midst of the most intense climate policy controversies, and it was Raymond, after all, who had chosen Tillerson as his successor. Raymond had tried, as he departed, to deliver to his successor an ExxonMobil board of directors that was as united in its support for Tillerson as possible, despite the fact that at least a handful of directors had favored Ed Galante for the top job. Initially, at least, a smooth leadership transition and mutual loyalty between Tillerson and his new aides and Raymond and his old-school loyalists seemed possible. Even a Boy Scout loyal protégé will distance himself from a mentor once in power. The story is at least as old as Shakespeare. And in doing so, he may generate resentments, even conflict. The more Tillerson made clear that he intended to change the tone of ExxonMobil's communications, the more he implicitly criticized Raymond's approach to climate lobbying and to leadership in particular. To maintain a balance, Tillerson also relentlessly spoke of his desire to perpetuate the management culture of discipline and exactitude that Raymond had built, even if he sounded at times as if he was overcompensating. "In terms of showing my predecessor respect, he doesn't need anybody's endorsement," Tillerson said later. "He has my great respect. His accomplishments will never be equaled again." And yet the uncomfortable truth was that Tillerson and Raymond disagreed. The former believed that ExxonMobil had a communications problem on climate, whereas Raymond, now under contract to consult for the corporation and moving toward full retirement, did not. In Raymond's view, as he made clear through his residual loyalists inside the corporation, the question was whether ExxonMobil had the courage of its convictions. The history of Standard Oil, in Raymond's reading, was one of standing firm and taking the heat when necessary. Tillerson's own views about climate science were not greatly different from Lee Raymond's. Tillerson held a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. Raymond held a doctorate in chemical sciences. Tillerson did not claim or wish to project the same sort of independent scientific expertise that Raymond had offered about climate science. Tillerson remained relatively quiet on scientific questions. During Lee's reign, Rex never expressed any concern whatsoever about ExxonMobil's policy positions, recalled an executive on the board of directors. "He was fully on board. Lee would say, 'The scientists on the other side are wrong.' Rex would say, 'It's more complicated than most people understand.'"